Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Dipstick. I actually pulled this one right out of my car this morning. This is a kind of an unwieldy thing. I got to looking at it, I thought this would have made a good switch. I'm glad my dad never figured that out. Be a terrifying thing if your dad popped the hood and you knew he wasn't checking the oil. You're about to get lacerated by this thing. But here's what I think is so interesting about a dipstick. I've got this car out there, this engine, and I can go out there at any given time and pull this thing out from deep inside the engine and get a reading of what's going on, just out of nowhere, down inside where you can't get without pulling the heads and doing all this work. You can pull this thing out and just simply look at it, wipe it off, put it back in, and say where the levels are, and find out if your oil's clean, if your car, at least in that category, is in good shape. Now, one of the things that makes church so tough for a lot of people is that church is full of dipsticks, and I'm not talking about this kind. And if you know, there's a couple of meanings for the word dipstick. And the kind of dipstick we're going to talk about is not the kind that mess churches up. It's the kind of reading that we can get in a church and just something as simple as a dipstick. Now, if churches had dipsticks, what kind of reading would we get if God pulled our dipstick today? If God walked in here and somehow could say, you know what? You know, just no big deal, just doing a check, and reached in and pulled the dipstick on this church, what do we got? A few verses that go with this question. Let's go to Matthew 22, and some of these will be review for you. They're pretty basic stuff that gets mentioned around here, but I figured a good way to start with some basic stuff. Matthew 22, 35 and following. This lawyer, teacher basically of the law, expert in the Jewish law. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And there were tons of them. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So there's your answer. You pull the dipstick, and the question would be, for us individually, but also as a church, do we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind? And out of that, do we love our neighbor as we love ourselves? You do those two things, you can take the planet. It's pretty simple. If the relationship vertically is what it's supposed to be, then the relationship horizontally is going to be what it's supposed to be, and you take a reading, the levels are high, everything's great, it's running smoothly. Another good indicator is Matthew 28. Go a few pages to the right. When Jesus was about to leave the planet and go back to heaven, Matthew 28:19. Most translations say go, but really it would translate more like as you are going. Then the command, the imperative here is make disciples. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. We love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, our neighbors, ourself, and then are we making disciples? As we are going, are we making disciples? As people come through here, as we connect with each other, are we just sitting here saying, wow, I enjoy the music, like hearing somebody talk every once in a while, some biblical stuff, but I'm basically going to live however I want to live, do whatever I want to do, and I'll come and go as I please, but I really don't want you getting into my stuff. I don't want you pulling my dipstick. Now, I've actually done this before, and this is the dumbest thing in the world, and maybe I've made reference to this before. If you're driving down the road, and I think it happened in my wife's car the other day, I turned the car on the garage, and I heard, you know, I don't know if the oil settles or what happens, but you hear this like little clicking sound. I don't know what it is, but it's not a good thing to hear. You know what I'm talking about? It's not normal. And so I've discovered the answer to that is just to turn the radio up a little bit louder. And you know, that sound went away, and I thought, if I just turn the radio up a little louder and drive a few miles, then maybe we'll turn it down and see if it's gone, and if it's gone, whoo, glad that's over. The problem is we start hearing these clacking sounds and something's wrong, and then lights come on. This is the best one. You say, well, there must be something wrong with the light. It's a faulty light. There cannot possibly be anything wrong with my car. And see, you're riding around in your car, you hear the noises, you won't stop, you won't do the maintenance you need to do along the way, you won't even check your own oil until you hear these noises and the light comes on, check oil, and the gauges start going and things are just not, you know, there's smoke coming out the back, and then maybe you say, well, I can't afford to get my oil changed. You're about to have to afford a new engine. Now see, if you're doing that by yourself in your own car with your own equipment, nobody knows. But if somebody were to come along and say, hey, what's that noise? Let me check your oil and pulled your dipstick. They'd go, you know what? And this happened to me the other day. I went in and the guy showed me. He pulled the dipstick and, you know, they come up and hold it like this and let you look at it. I mean, it looked like syrup or something on there. He said, sir, you need to change your oil. And I was like, okay, well, maybe you're right. Go ahead, you know. But because I was willing to let somebody check it, I probably avoided some problems. Now, let me tell you where we're going today. I'm going to encourage us as a church and as Christians, wherever you are listening to this today, to start pulling some dipsticks and being okay for someone to pull yours. Now, part of my job is sitting down with individual people. And I think if there's a pastor out there who is not spending time with individual people, he's in trouble and the church is in trouble. You have to talk to people. If you're going to be a shepherd, you have to spend time with sheep. And when I sit down with any, I've sat down, I'd almost say raise your hand if we've sat down together. There's a lot of people in the room I've done this with. And I think I have this blind spot or just think, okay, it's going to be different this time. I sit down and we start a conversation, and then all of a sudden, it goes. I'm getting a little better at it, I think, to be prepared, but I just think, oh, we're going to be a nice person, and how are you, and how are you, and wow, how'd you find the church, and it just seems all simple, and then all of a sudden, you pull that dipstick, and there is all kind of stuff going on. And I would venture to say, if I went row by row, and the reason this doesn't happen a lot is it takes time, and people got problems. Now, let me tell you what I think makes church completely different. There are places where people gather and they call it church and they come in and out and it literally is, hi, how you doing? Good to see you. Praise the Lord. How was your week? Oh, praise the Lord. It was great. You doing? Oh, God bless you. Ah, yes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you. If you can say that about five or six times, you can get in and out of church and nobody will pull your dipstick. God is good all the time. All the time. God is good. Right? Just work a few little phrases. But what I'm encouraging you to do is take it one more step and take the time and look at somebody and say, hey, would you mind if I pop your hood a minute? I mean, maybe we shouldn't use that. Let me think of another way to put that. Let's read some more verses. I think I'm safer doing that. Let's quote somebody else. I'm safe there reading this. Soren Kierkegaard, a Danish philosopher and theologian, said this, trouble is the common denominator of living. It is the great equalizer. Now, let me tell you something. I haven't met anybody yet without trouble. I've met some rich people. I've sat with poor people. You say, well, of course, poor people got trouble. Everybody's got trouble. And I don't care how smooth and fancy and slick somebody comes across, if you sit with someone long enough, they got trouble. And my concern is that we don't sit, period. And if we do sit, we don't sit long enough to even get into it. I don't have time for anybody else's troubles. And do you want anybody to have time for yours? Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And this is one little verse, and you say, why do you just read one verse? And I can back this up with multiple verses, but I want you to know this is in the book. This is just not my opinion. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. And Paul writes to Timothy, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Over and over, the Bible talks about suffering, and you're going to have tribulation and challenges. This is just part of life. And learning how to deal with that and being aware that people around you are in that same boat will help you process the thing. If you want to have a relationship with someone, you are going to have to listen. And what most of us don't have time to do or don't make time to do is sit down with someone and knowingly, if I got problems, they're going to have problems, and this is going to come out, and I'm going to have to deal with this, and I want to deal with this, and I'm willing to deal with this. Don Williams said this, "God talks incessantly, but as it turns out, mankind is deaf." Edgar Watson Howe said, "No man would listen to you talk if he didn't know it was his turn next." Ever experienced that? Sit down with somebody, have a conversation. You say, "Okay, go ahead, you talk a minute." The whole time you're thinking, "Oh, would they shut up so I can tell them about me?" And then they stop and you go, "Well, here, let me tell you about me." And they're thinking, "Well, in a minute it's going to be my turn. And I can talk about me again." There's an old Chinese proverb that says, "To listen well is as powerful a means of influence as to talk well, and it is essential to all true conversation." If you're going to be involved in ministry, you are going to have to sit down, be still, and listen. You say, "Well, I don't have time for that." Then you will never experience what it is God made you to do and left you to do as a believer. Because ministry is people. Ministry is helping people through stuff and your experiences and sharing that. Go to Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. Exodus 33, 11 says this, and this is an extraordinary thing that's said about Moses. It says, "So the Lord spoke to Moses," and here's the phrase, "face to face, as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle." God, it says here, spoke to Moses face to face, but it's interesting what that is defining. As a man speaks to his friend. I'm going to tell you who your friends are. They are the people that you speak face to face with. Now, I understand some people are separated, friends are, and you get on the phone, whatever. But I have relationships with people. I don't want to text them anymore. I don't want to email them anymore. I don't want to talk to them on the phone. I want a face-to-face conversation. Because there is an exchange. There is something that happens. You can be texting and doing something else, and somebody knows that, right? You can be texting from anywhere without going there, you know. You can communicate, but when you're face-to-face, you know whether that person is focused on you, paying attention to you. That takes time, but it makes all the difference if you're going to have a relationship. Matthew 11, verse 18. It's interesting what Jesus got accused of being and doing. Verse 18, "For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon." They were accusing Jesus of being this drunk and spending time with the wrong kind of people. And Jesus says here, "John came, he wasn't here eating and drinking with anybody, and yet you say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a wine, but like, you're a pig, you're a drunk." He was spending so much time eating and drinking with who? A friend of tax collectors and sinners, but wisdom is justified by her children. He was accused of being a friend, not an acquaintance, not a how are you doing kind of person. Jesus, the Pharisees and Sadducees and the tax collectors and the publicans and the sinners knew he's our friend. What does it take to cross that line? And could we even get accused of that? If the dipstick was pulled on your life, do you have friends living your godly life? Do you have friends with people who are sinners, tax collectors, whatever you describe these people, the outcasts, the reprobates, the outsiders religiously? Have you got friends where they know you are really their friend and you care about them? Or are you just huddling up with Christians all the time? Now, I'm not knocking being with Christians all the time, but if you are not interacting, you're supposed to somehow be able to be in the world and not of the world. And some Christians don't even know anybody that's not a Christian anymore. And we're so terrified we're going to meet someone and we're going to be infected by them. Go with someone else then. Don't do it by yourself. But get to the place where you are mature enough, strong enough to engage someone and understand, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. So I've got some pushback. My job is to be out there. A lot of Christians are so fragile, they can't interact. Get some muscle on you spiritually so you can go in these situations. Now you say, well, does that mean if after work everybody says, hey, we're going down to happy hour, you want to go? If you're an alcoholic and you can't go to happy hour, don't go to happy hour. But is it ever okay for you to go to happy hour with people at work? Is it? Everybody's like, I know the answer is Jesus, but... Now see, I might try to be very careful how I do this, but if you called me up and said, hey, I got a crew that goes to happy hour every day after work, would you go with us? Absolutely. I'd say, you know what? Do you mind if I bring Patrick or somebody with me? I'll go with you. You say, but you're going to be seen in a bar. Exactly. And I might get accused of hanging out, eating and, you know, with publicans and sinners. You say, does that mean you're going to have a beer? Probably not. I don't feel comfortable doing that because in our day and age now, you can get messed up. So I'm not advocating going out and drinking with everybody. But I can be with people and interact with people and have an impact. You know what? Those people at happy hour aren't coming here because they think we're a bunch of dipsticks. What Jesus did is he crossed the lines, not in sin. He lived his whole life, never sinned. How did he do that? How was he with these people and yet he didn't ever sin? You have to interact with a lost world, or what are we doing here? You say, well, oh, I'm growing. I'm becoming a strong Christian. For what? So you can sit around and quote scripture to other Christians? You're supposed to be living this thing out. C.S. Lewis said, friendship is born at the moment when one person says to another, what, you too? I thought I was the only one. You sit down with somebody and you don't be all holier than thou. You know what? Don't ask someone to go first. Say, hey, let me tell you a story. This room right here is filled with stories. And you say, well, if someone actually heard my story, they wouldn't love me. It worked with God, didn't it? You told him your story and he knew it already and decided he loved you before you were born. So, and if someone doesn't love you, you'd be amazed how many people just are so relieved when they meet a Christian and go, wow, you went through all that. Man, I'm a loser too. I don't mean to say you're a loser, but yeah, I'm, you know. John chapter 4 contains the story of the woman at the well. Jesus decides he's going to go through Samaria. He goes to Sychar. There's this well. I mean, he shouldn't have been in this part of town. You know, Jews didn't talk to these Samaritans anyway. And verse 7, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. And here is where it all changes. And here's the picture. He is at the well. The disciples have gone into town to get some food. He's just sitting there resting. A woman in the middle of the day, which is not when you come to get water. So she's probably an outcast and can't come when all the other women come to get water. But she comes to the well and Jesus is there. What could have happened is what it doesn't say. Jesus could have sat there and said, Samaritan woman, I ain't talking to her. And just kept to himself and completely ignored her. How many people have we completely ignored in our lives? Act like they don't exist, not even there. And here's where this entire story turns. Verse 7, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, he spoke to her. You say, well, duh, of course he spoke to her. No, not duh. He could have gone without speaking to her. The point is, he spoke to her. And once he spoke to her, a conversation ensues. He says, give me a drink. Ask for some water. You just don't understand. He would not. I don't even know how to describe it. This was like a black man and a white woman 60 years ago and meeting each other, being alone. They wouldn't even have spoken. Jesus speaks to her. Now you say, well, you're oversimplifying this. No, I'm not. You're going to have to speak. You're going to have to walk up to somebody, and it may be in this gathering right here, in a church gathering, and you go up to somebody as you're prompted to, and you say, hey, I met you a couple of weeks ago, and tell me again what your name is, and I can't really explain this, but are you guys going to grab a sandwich or some lunch after church? Could our families go together? And I saw that you were by yourself. Hey, why don't you come with our family? Look around. You say, well, I gave my money. That's your job. You know what? It's not my job. It's my job to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry is for you to open your eyes instead of blowing in here and blowing out of here and praying to God you don't have to meet anybody. Meet somebody. Talk to them. Sit down with them. I've been running through these rooms for years, and if you'll notice what I do is I'll meet you, and then I'll say, hey, have you met so-and-so? I'm putting you together. And you don't even know it, and then you don't do anything about that maybe. Pay attention. You say, well, I don't think I like that guy. How do you know you don't like the guy? He's bald and you're bald. You ought to have something in common. Trying to match up the hair people as much as possible. You say, well, I'm not getting as much out of church as I think I should be. You know what? You're not putting anything in, maybe. It's not about coming in here and listening to me talk. You can listen to music at home in your car. You can listen to preaching on the radio or get CDs. You don't have, what are you doing here? And see, we are all desperate for relationships, not just with God, but with each other. And you say, well, I've already got enough friends. Well, good for you. Aren't you special? All maxed out. It's possible that someone is not maxed out yet, and God may need you in their life. If you're all that, then say, Lord, you know what? I'd really love to just get up today and go to church. I'd love to just sit there, soak it up, and walk out and not talk to anybody. But I'll tell you what, I'm available. And if you tap me or prompt me, I'm looking, Lord. I'm paying attention. If there's somebody I need to take to lunch or say I'll meet you for coffee or something, then I'm willing. You'd be amazed what happens. You say, well, I'm tired. You know what? I'm tired too. that I can only keep up with so many of you, but we can all keep up with each other almost infinitely because there's no stopping what you can do out there. You say, but I know what happens, Richard. If I sit down with this person and I ask the wrong question, they're going to answer them. And it might be 2 hours later and this person's just oozing all over me. And I'm changing their oil and now there's all these problems and I don't want to know their problems because it could get expensive with time and money. I don't want to go there. You know what? Then what are you still doing on the planet? You say, well, but I make money and I write a check. Well, good for you. And how's that working out for you just doing that? God wants to use you, your screwed up past, to help someone else know they're going to make it. You say, well, I don't want to tell my story. There is nothing but screw-ups here, including me. Sit down with somebody, tell them your story, talk, and then shut up and let them talk and listen. And you'd be amazed what can happen. Ralph Waldo Emerson said this, "Friendship requires more time than poor, busy men can usually command." Now, I want you to think about that. You say, Richard, I work so many hours a day, so many days a week. If I take that time, I'm working hard trying to take care of my family. I'm trying to spend time with my kids, and you're asking me to give even more time. And my simple question, and I don't say this to be mean, would be this. Do you watch football? Do you watch basketball? Is there a 3 or 4 hour slot that you could, and you say, well, yeah, but I didn't think God was going to require that. You don't mean it's going to go that far. Okay, I'll give you a way out of that one. You meet somebody and say, hey, there's a Cowboy game today. Are you watching it with anybody? Why don't you come to my house? People used to eat together. That's how people knew each other, old school. They ate together. Invite somebody to your house to eat. Go to lunch with somebody, eat. You're all eating, it's obvious. I got more verses, but I think that's probably good. Here's one more. Winnie the Pooh said this. Of course, he had some help, but he technically said this. Listen, you can't stay in your corner of the forest waiting for others to come to you. You have to go to them sometimes. Winnie the Pooh.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
Now here's where it all starts, and this is from a very unlikely source. This is a little song, the lyrics, I'm going to read you a couple of verses by a gentleman by the name of Tupac Shakur. And this is what Tupac had to say before he died. I think the title was God. When I was alone and had nothing, I asked for a friend to help me bear the pain. No one came except God. When I needed a breath to rise from my sleep, no one could help me. Except God. When all I saw was sadness and I needed answers, no one heard me except God. So when I'm asked who I give my unconditional love to, I look for no other name except God. He said, but look at Tupac's life and how he died. And my question is, did anybody bother to listen? We're all wagging our fingers at all the evil people in the world, all them reprobate, heathen, pagan people out there living in sin. Why don't you pull up next to somebody and say, hey, how are you doing? They say, okay. You say, okay, let me try again. How you really doing? They say, oh, not so good. You get a not so good pretty quick. You'd be amazed if somebody actually believes you care. I'm encouraging you to start pulling some dipsticks and be prepared to say, hey, I know where you can get some oil. One of the coolest things in Scripture is people were anointed with oil. In James, it talks about if anyone's sick, let the elders come and anoint them with oil. If you've ever had oil poured over your head, it's an amazing thing. It's a healing thing. And God can use your hands and your life and your words and your past, everything you've got, to literally not just pour oil into somebody, but pour oil on them. They go, wow, I think it's going to be okay.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.